right, we are back for another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. It is our first episode with an external guest for 2023, and we're bringing back one of the TFD OGs. He needs no introduction. He is Mr. Creatine, Dr. Scott Forbes, coming via Canada through Zoom. Dr. Scott Forbes, thanks for coming on yet again.
Happy to be here. And anytime I get to talk about creatine, I'm obviously very excited about that. And it's obviously a popular supplement for a variety of different reasons.
I feel like in the last couple of years, maybe it's just because I've been talking about and pushing it so much, I feel like creatine is kind of the supplement at the moment. You know how the supplement industry, nutrition, health and fitness, it goes through all these trends and ups and downs and whatever. I feel like creatine is really coming into its own. And it's not just the hardcore gym junkies or the hardcore scientists that know about it. I feel like it's kind of expanded its reach. Do you feel like that? Is that the vibe you're getting as well on your end?
Yeah, and you're welcome. From all of our research that myself and Darren Kandow and others have published, I think that's why it's really gone mainstream. Is the science is very strong to support creatine, and then obviously podcasts such as yours really push it to the general public, and but the science supports it. So I think that's why there's so much interest in creatine.
And you've been really busy, Doc. You've been super, super busy, always doing research in this area. How many papers have you been publishing, say, over the last 24 months, 2 years or so, on specifically in creatine?
That's a great question. Maybe about 10 to 15 articles per year on creatine for the last couple of years. We've done quite a few reviews in that area. But over my lifetime, maybe 50 articles specifically on creatine. So that's, definitely quite a few.
That's massive. Do you think it's a fair statement? I do say this to people, and I want you to correct me, because I'll admit on air if I am wrong by saying this statement. Would you say creatine is the most studied nutritional supplement that there is?
Yeah, I would say caffeine is up there as well, but there is a lot of research on creatine. There's well over 500 studies that I'm aware of that have combined creatine with exercise. And every day it seems like there's more and more studies coming out.
Yeah, and it's really good to see that. You know what I love most about it is that, like I said, the evolution of it when I first heard about it, you know, all those years ago, it was really just designated to the gym junkies. Like maybe someone at the gym would have it hidden in their gym bag, tucked right at the back or something. And nowadays, I recommend it to my parents, my grandparents, my neighbors, everyone. They don't even have to be athletes. I just recommend it to them for overall health. How have you seen the evolution of creatine go from that hiding little grimy thing in the gym that maybe people spoke about and, you know, most people thought was a steroid to where it is now?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's not, well, we know that 95% of creatine is found in muscle, but we know that there's creatine found in other tissues as well. So the research has moved beyond just focusing on muscle. But now there's evidence to show that creatine can enhance cognitive function, bone health. And as you mentioned, it was traditionally thought to just be for bodybuilders or people trying to get more jacked in the gym. But now we know that as people age, they're losing muscle mass, they're losing strength, and they have what's known as sarcopenia. And creatine combined with resistance training seems to be a great strategy to enhance health in older adults.
Yeah, absolutely. So yesterday I put up a Q&A on my social media. We got an influx of questions. I've narrowed it down to the best ones. So let's go through it. Let's answer the people's most commonly asked questions. You've probably been asked these about a combined 500,000 times, but let's go through it 500,001 time for each of these questions. Let's start with the very first one. I'm sure this is the first tip of the tongue that everyone always says. What is creatine loading? How much do we need and why do we need it?
Yeah, absolutely. So creatine loading is typically taking 20 grams of creatine. And usually you separate that into four doses throughout the day. So you'll take 5 grams in the morning, 5 at lunch, 5 at dinner time, and 5 grams just before bedtime. So you get 20 grams in an entire day, and you do that for 5 to 7 days. And we know that on average, you get about a 20% increase in the amount of creatine within your muscle. We also know that if you just take a lower dose of creatine, it might take a little bit longer, but you can still saturate your muscles over time. So the original study was done by Paul Greenhalf and Eric Haltman. They showed that just taking 3 grams of creatine filled or saturated your muscles, but it took 28 days to do so. Whereas the loading phase only took 5 to 7 days to get that saturation in creatine. So no, you do not have to load, but if you want to increase creatine stores quickly, then the loading strategy is the best protocol.
And I guess this segues nicely into another question that came through. And this person said, how much should I be taking? Is 5 gram every day fine? I guess when you buy most creatines, they come with a little 5 gram scoop. Is that the best amount to be taken every day?
Yeah, so that's definitely an effective strategy. There hasn't been a lot of good dose response studies with creatine, and you might actually need a slightly higher dose of creatine to get some of the other benefits of creatine. For example, we found that a slightly higher dose of creatine might be required for the bone benefits and also the brain benefits as well. But again, there hasn't been good dose response studies. So presently, I would say that 5 grams a day is a reasonable recommendation.
And this is a really good one that I've just seen now. If you forget to take it, say you forget to take it one day, are you meant to double up the next day, or is it fine just to continue as is?
Yeah, so if you miss a day, you're going to completely deflate. No, I'm joking. So we know that once your muscles are saturated, it actually takes 4 to 6 weeks to return back to baseline levels. And so if you miss a day, it's definitely not a big deal. It's not going to impact creatine stores within your muscle drastically, if at all. And so you do not have to double up to catch up. Just continue on with your normal dosing strategy. And there's actually been a few studies that have looked at just taking creatine on training days. In those particular studies, they trained 3 times per week. And they found that that is a viable strategy to enhance muscle gains and also strength gains as well.
Yeah, how good. And I'm sure people listening to this, they'll probably run straight to the store and they'll go down there, ask the person, do you have creatine? And they'll get shown about 20 different brands of creatine. Creatine is a bit different to other supplements because it's really just one of two types, right? Like you get the creatine monohydrate or the creatine hydrochloric. Which one is better? Which one is better? And then when you choose one, how do you know what's a good brand? What are you looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually about 20 different alternative forms of creatine that I'm aware of. So there's a lot that's out there and on the market. Presently, creatine monohydrate is the most studied. It's the most effective. So no other alternative form of creatine has been shown to be superior from a performance standpoint than creatine monohydrate. And it's also the cheapest as well. So the supplement companies might sell you or try to sell you on alternative forms such as creatine HCL. They'll say that it has better absorption and better retention. It dissolves easier. But the reality is that it doesn't impact performance any different. And it's going to be a lot more expensive than creatine monohydrate. So my recommendation is to stick to creatine monohydrate. I like the powder form versus capsule forms. Again, it's a little bit cheaper. And usually when I get a product, I just want to know that it's been independently tested. That's one thing I might look for, especially if you're working with athletes where they get drug tested, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. You do not want to be messing around with that. And you want to absolutely make sure, if you're an athlete listening to this, check that all of your supplements have either been batch tested or a banned substance tested, because you do not want to be at the wrong end of that. Many years ago, I had a very intimidating Russian fella from USADA call my mobile phone when I was working in a clinic one day, and he absolutely upended me for one of my athletes taking a supplement that I had no idea about. And I'll never, ever, ever let my athletes take unbanned substance tested supplements since. But anyway, Doc, this is a really good one too. We're talking about those days that maybe you just take it on training days. Does it matter what time you take it? Are you meant to take it when you get up first thing in the morning, before you hit the gym afterwards? What's the evidence say there?
Yeah, so we've done multiple studies looking at creatine timing, and it seems like having the creatine close to your exercise session is a benefit. So if you do exercise, it sensitizes the muscle to take up creatine easier. So I suggest to take it close to your training session, but we actually found no difference if you take creatine before training or after training. And we've also done studies looking at creatine during training as well. So if you take it before, during, or after, there's absolutely no difference in the effectiveness of creatine. But I do suggest to take it close to your training session.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's jump into some of the sport specific stuff. Now, this is a really cool one we were talking about off air just then. And traditionally, like we said, when we spoke about creatine in the past, usually it's the bodybuilding guys, and it kind of migrated, evolved into the sprinter, high explosive power bench press type of scene. But now we're kind of seeing it migrate into other sports as well, and endurance sports, such a huge following in endurance sports. Should those guys be looking at taking creatine?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a growing body of literature in that particular area, and it depends. So that's kind of the common question or the common answer, I guess. But so there is some evidence that creatine can actually negatively impact running performance. So in a race where you just have a steady state, and you try to run like 6 kilometers as fast as you can, there is some evidence that it could actually negatively impact running performance. And the authors suggested it was because of an increase in body mass. So when you take creatine or you load with creatine, you can gain a little bit of body weight, and that could negatively influence weight-bearing activities. But if you look at some of the other literature in cyclists, or even and runners completing a marathon, for example, there could potentially be some benefits. So in the cyclists study, they actually showed improvements in their ability to do surges in a race. So they're able to change gears or change pace, which could be a benefit in a lot of endurance events. And then there's been studies in runners showing that if they took creatine, they had reduced inflammation and muscle damage after a marathon. And then there's also studies in swimmers as well to show that they have better finishing sprints if they take creatine. So certain endurance sports, depending on your goals and and your change in body mass, I would say that really dictates potentially the benefits of creatine supplementation for endurance exercise.
Are the principles still the same for the endurance guys? Are you trying to have it pretty close to training, or is it just any time during the day? Or what would you recommend there based on what we know in the science?
Yeah, so I would recommend to consume the creatine close to your training session. So there's actually been studies where they did aerobic exercise in one leg and then provided creatine, and they showed that the leg that exercised, so they just had them do unilateral cycling, and the leg that exercised actually took up more creatine than the leg that didn't exercise. So it's good to take creatine close to your exercise session, whether it's resistance training or aerobic training. And then we also know one of the benefits of creatine is that if you combine it with carbohydrates, well, one, it increases the amount of creatine that you take up into the muscle, but number two, it helps with glycogen recovery as well. So if you get more glycogen in the muscle, that could be a benefit, particularly for high intensity exercise and endurance performance.
We're talking a little bit off air about the non-human studies, the rat studies, and you and I are talking about running ultra endurance events, and we can both appreciate they can get pretty tricky and they're pretty tough on your muscles. Let's tell the people about that rat study where these guys are getting shocked for how long? 12, 14 hours a day?
Yeah, exactly. So they did chronic low frequency stimulation. And so they zap the rat muscles and it causes the muscle to contract. And they did that for 12 hours a day. So it's like extreme training in these rats. But when they do that, they increase the number of mitochondria, they increase all the mitochondrial enzymes. And that's basically one of the adaptations from endurance training. And so they gave half the rats creatine, half the rats a placebo, a sugar. And what they found was the rats that got the creatine, they preserved some of the muscle fast twitch characteristics, which would mean that they were able to do kind of more sprints, more high intensity exercise without impairing any of the oxidative adaptations that occurred with endurance training. So potentially during high volume training or athletes that are doing ultra training for ultras, creatine can help preserve that fast twitch characteristics, which are important for running up hills or doing bursts of activity or sprints in a race. It could be important to determine whether you win or lose a race or finish a race. So I think that's an important component of creatine supplementation.
Yeah, so still an emerging area, but signs are looking pretty good for the endurance athletes to start utilizing creatine in their supplementation.
Absolutely.
Let's move to combat sports now. This is kind of our wheelhouse, and I could probably say with confidence I get 50 to 75 questions a week asking about creatine and making weight. Now, you did mention earlier that creatine is associated with a little bit of water gain. So, very first question. What is that effect when people start taking creatine? How much is it? And then, if you had an athlete, say they'll just diet in general, we'll talk about weight cutting and actual sweating in a little bit, but say they're just dieting and they want to lose some weight, do you recommend they still be taking creatine during that period as well?
Yeah, so there's lots of things that happen, and there's some nuances in the literature. So first, if you load with creatine for a week, it will increase water retention, and it might be like 1% of your body weight. So it's not a huge amount of weight that you're going to gain in that time, but you might gain a little bit of body weight. But that water retention actually stimulates the muscle to grow. And over time, your muscles actually do a really good job of regulating how much fluids or liquids are in the cell or in the muscle. And there was a nice study that was done out of Brazil, and they one of the co-authors was Brad Schoenfeld. He's like big in the fitness industry, but also a really good scientist and researcher. And what they found was that after 8 weeks of resistance training, there was an increase in intracellular water, but there was also a proportional increase in skeletal muscle mass. So the ratio of intracellular water to skeletal muscle mass or muscle mass was the same at the end of the 8 week training period compared to at the start of the training. And so what that says is that, yes, you do get water pulled into the muscle. That stimulates the muscle to grow. And after 8 weeks of training, the ratio of intracellular water to skeletal muscle mass is actually the same compared to at the start.
So, in other words, Scott, if we're thinking about people that are dieting progressively, even beyond that period, it's not like if they're taking creatine every single day, they're going to be holding additional fluid. Because, like you said, their muscle has increased in size proportional to the amount of fluid that was originally there. So, essentially, all you've done here is just increase the amount of muscle that you have over that period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So your muscle right now has water within it. So if you make that muscle bigger, there's going to be a little bit more water within that muscle just because of an increase in size. And the other thing that we've actually shown is that if you take creatine and perform resistance training, that it actually helps with a little bit of fat mass loss. So those that took creatine actually lost about a half a kilogram more fat mass compared to those that just performed the exercise and did not take creatine. So creatine not only helps you build muscle, but it also helps you lose a little bit of fat. So it improves your body composition. And obviously it also has performance advantages as well.
So, for all the combat sport athletes that are listening to this, that commonly sent me this question. And I do swear that it's the same guys that are pumping this question to me, even though I try to answer it every week. Number one, there will be that initial water gain for some people, and that's only going to be 1%. If you're a 70 kilo person like me, that's 700 grams, not that much, nothing to worry about. Two, it's going to make your muscles bigger. Hence, that's going to be why you're going to be holding more water in your body. Three, it'll probably help with the fat loss as well. And four, something that's very important for combat athletes is getting that glycogen back up, like you spoke about earlier, which will help with not only their performance, but their recovery. So it's pretty safe to say that if you're a combat sport athlete, you're going through fight camp, creatine should definitely be on your supplement list.
Absolutely. And then there was actually a recent paper by Abby Smith Ryan that showed in females, it actually has very little effect on water retention. So there might be some sex-based differences between males and females with regards to that water retention, but it doesn't seem to be a drastic kind of effect that people always assume.
And the other question we always get is, during that final fight week, when these guys are cutting weight, and you're familiar with this, Scott, I've spoken to you about it a lot, when we're doing all these crazy things with the body in order to remove fluid from the body to make weight, quote unquote, a lot of athletes will want to cut creatine out of there. I've actually, in the past couple of years, have encouraged them to keep taking creatine. And then if they do want to cut it out, only for a couple of days, and as soon as they get back off the scale, we introduce it in their shakes and in their food, whatever they prefer, to again help increase that water increase, water uptake, that glycogen uptake. What would you say, Scott? Is it necessary for them to take it out during that fight week, or should they just keep habitually taking it?
No, I totally agree with you that I think they should take it all the way up to the fight, and especially after the weigh-in is really crucial, because if you combine creatine with carbohydrates, you can suck more creatine into the muscle, but you can also suck more glycogen into the muscle, which are really important for fighting performance.
Yeah. So let's just recap this, because again, 50 to 75 messages every week about creatine is a lot. So during your fight camp, absolutely take it. It's going to help with growing your muscle. It's going to put more water in your muscle, which is nothing but a good thing. It's going to help with your fat loss. It's going to help with your glycogen uptake. During the fight week, Dr. Scott just said before that there's studies with guys that take it 3 days a week and they still get the benefits around training. So if you mentally do want to take it out for whatever reason, you can take it for the start of fight week, maybe drop it for a day or two before weigh-ins if mentally that's what you need, but you want to make sure you're putting that back in as soon as you get off that scale. You want to be maximizing the benefit of creatine to get that glycogen and creatine back into your muscles.
That's perfect.
I think you're going to save me about 2 hours on my weekend Q&A every weekend just from that answer, Dr. Scott. But on to the next one. This is a really good one here. Let's do some myth busting. And I'm sure you've done a lot of this over the years. And this one seems to just always be around when I talk about creatine. Does it increase the rate of hair loss? Someone asked you, where does that come from? Where did that myth start? Is it true? And why does it hang around so much?
Yeah, I get that question all the time. I'm not very good at answering this one because I'm bald, but there's a study in rugby players that showed an increased conversion of testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, or DHT, and DHT has been linked to male pattern baldness. But if you look at that particular study, the hormone DHT stayed within normal levels. So it wasn't certain why, you know, there was a difference between the creatine group and the placebo group. And it wasn't a drastic effect of creatine on DHT. And I could also tell you that there's no plausible mechanism to explain what that particular study found. I do know from a lot of research and trying to measure different hormones that there's quite a bit of variability just from one sample to the next, or when you try to measure samples in duplicate. So a lot of people put a lot of faith in that one particular study. And because of that increase in DHT in the creatine group, they say that it causes hair loss. But I can tell you that that study did not measure anything to do with hair loss, except for DHT. And but now we're stuck trying to answer that creatine causes hair loss when in fact that's completely untrue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I get that question just as frequently, to be honest. Very last one, Scott, before we finish up here. Last myth, I guess, we can bust. Is creatine just for athletes?
Yeah, so absolutely not. We've shown a lot of benefits of creatine to enhance muscle mass, muscle strength in older adults, and function as well. And we also know now that creatine can impact other tissues in the body. It can enhance bone strength in postmenopausal women. It could also be a benefit for older adults to take creatine to enhance bone strength. A lot of the research from Dr. Jaron Kando has shown that. And now we also know that creatine can also impact cognition as well, and particularly, again, in an older population. So there's lots of other benefits, therapeutic, clinical benefits of creatine. So it's not just for athletes. It's for everybody.
Like I said, I tell my parents to take it, my grandparents to take it, my neighbor's dog, everyone I can talk to, I tell to take creatine. Now, Scott, we've been working on something pretty exciting the last couple of months, and I'm super, super excited to announce that we're able to drop this today. Scott and I have worked together for a long time, and he has helped me immensely with my practice and helped thousands, literally thousands of our athletes by teaching me how to incorporate creatine into their lives, not just for athletic performance, but like we spoke about, for cognitive, everything else that comes with taking the right amount of creatine for the right amount of time. And we've put together a creatine masterclass that we'll be releasing on the TFD Performance Hub. Scott, tell us a little bit about that course.
Yeah, so that course covers everything that you could possibly want to know about creatine, from how much to take, when to take it, what to take it with, or what not to take it with. It also talks about how creatine can impact various tissues in the body. And it really just highlights all the science. So we use a lot of evidence in that particular masterclass to really show, you know, how creatine can really impact health and performance.
Yeah, I could not recommend it enough. Like I said, there is a real trend, and so it should be, that creatine is really taking off at the moment. But whenever we see any trends in diet, there comes a whole lot of misinformation with those trends. So Scott and I have put together this course to cut through all that misinformation, give you just the hard facts. And keep in mind, Scott is one of the world leaders in this area. Over 100 peer-reviewed papers in the area, just keeps pumping them. I've never heard of someone putting out that many papers per year on a particular topic. He lives and breathes creatine. There's no one better to talk you through this. So I will leave a link to that. We're going to be doing a launch special, so that's only going to last for a few days. So get onto that if you want to get it at a really good price. But Scott, always a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks so much for taking the time to come on.
Thanks for having me.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. We have just launched our brand new course on our TFD Performance Hub, The Complete Guide to Creatine, where Dr. Scott Forbes breaks down literally everything we currently know about creatine so that you can make the most of this wonder supplement. If you use the link in the show notes, you'll also get 45% off your purchase. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.